Okay, this is the first shiur on Drosha Saran. I'm just going to be reading the Ran inside and explaining him, and it's not going to be anything fancy, just we're going to learn together the Drosha Saran, so that we know the Ran's Torah and the Ran's Shita is in Machshava. This is one of the, Drosha Saran is one of the classic Svarim on Sifri Machshava, the Hashkafas HaTorah. A lot of the major concepts in Jewish Hashkafa are included in Drosha Saran, and it's a very important sefer, and it's better if you have a Drosha Saran with you to follow along, because I'm going to be reading it inside and explaining it, but if not, you can listen too, that'll be fine. The drushas go based on the parasha of the week, so the first drusha is about Bereshis, but we're going to skip the first drusha. We'll come back to it at the end. Not the end of this year, but at the end, you know, as we go through the Drosha Saran. But we're going to start with the second Drosha, because the first Drosha, number one, is about a lot of the technicalities of the creation of the world, some involving the science of the times, and it requires a little explanation. So it's simpler to just start with the second Drosha, which happens to be about Parshas Toldos, which was just this past week. And so we'll start with there. Okay. So the Ran starts the second drush as follows. It says, he quotes a pasuk from Malachi, Perek Aleph, pasuk Beis and Gimel. Ahavti eschem omra Hashem v'amartem ba'ma ahavtanu. Hashem says, I loved you, and you, B'nai Yisrael, ask, how did you love us? So Hashem responds, hello, ach Esav le'Yaakov. Doesn't Yaakov have a brother named Esav? No, Hashem. And yet Hashem loved Yaakov. That's Esav Sanesi, and I hated Esav. Va'asim Esharav Shemama, and I destroyed his mountains. That's Nachlolos Anos Midbar. Hashem destroyed everything from Esav, and Hashem loved Yaakov. So that's how Hashem shows that he's loved us. Okay, that's the pasuk. It's the Haftarah of Parshas Toldos. So says the Ram, Pshata Kotzav Mara, Ki Avas Hashem Yisbarach Osanu Tivoda, Mitzad Masha Haya Esav Shav Yaakov Ba'achva. So the Ran says, the pasuk sounds like it's trying to tell you that the way we know that Hashem loves us is because Esav and Yaakov are brothers, they should have been equal, and therefore they should have gotten the same inheritance. And it wasn't so, aval ahav es Yaakov lios mevareches arzo. Rather, and it wasn't so, and Hashem loved Yaakov instead and gave him the best inheritance, gave him Eretz Yisrael v'nachal Esav nachla mevuhelas. And he gave Esav a bad nachla, bad inheritance. Zeh matmiya. This is shocking, surprising. Ki ein chok Hashem yisbarach kechok ha'av ha'manchil. Hashem is not like a physical father who has to give out inheritance in that way. Asher ben mevish u'machbir b'soch achim yachlok nachla. Then all his sons, a father gives some kind of inheritance to all sons. Good, bad, they're all his kids, so usually he gives them all an inheritance. Aval chuko, but Hashem's way is the hanchil o'av ha'yvayesh. Hashem gives good to the good and bad to the bad. This is Hashem, not a not a father in the physical sense. Hashem is also a melech, and he gives good to the ones who do good, and mekolol of yichrosu, and the people who do bad get wiped out. So mein pinosel she'er basaram. Hashem doesn't look to whether people are physically related or not. Kiachvasim v'kravasim lamala. What does Hashem care that Av, Yaakov, and Esav were related? What does that have to do with anything? So what? When it comes to the nachla that Hashem gives out, it goes based on what the person deserves. So how does it show that Hashem loves us, that he chose Yaakov? He chose Yaakov because of his deeds. Okay, so this answers the Ran. And I will think about this. Ki mitzad sheteva inyan Esav, the nature of Esav, chiev liyoso reishis tzareinu. It made it that he is Esav's always going to be our main enemy. Al kol she'eris ha'goyim more than any of the other goyim. Mitzad hayoso ach liyakov kamosha mefarish. Specifically because he's our brother. And therefore, amar ha'kosov ki b'masha ahav es Yaakov v'heviu al menuchaso, the fact that Hashem loved Yaakov and brought us to menucha, to peace, v'ayisav gorish min ha'goyim, Esav kicked away, no dechasadav rav tuv, based also that we know how good Hashem is to the Jewish people, the who, and that is to say, ki b'chol amim rabim le'yimatzei ro'i lustom evra v'kina b'mimshalis Yisrael k'esav. In all the nations, we won't find anyone who's more jealous and has seething hatred to Jewish rulership than Esav. She'eris ha'goyim sher kadmu l'Avram, all the other goyim that came, let's say, in the past, all the goyim that came before Avram, kvaro kivo bachar Hashem Yisbarach, they saw Hashem chose Avraham as his special person and nation. V'zara roi lios yorish etzer, and his children are the ones who should get the Yerusha of Avram to be the chosen people and have good things happen to them. So if Avram's in charge, it doesn't bother anybody. Everyone understands. Okay, we all know God chose him. And that's what the nations should say about people that come from Avram. They shouldn't be jealous of Yitzchak either. Rather, they give honor to the son of the main wife, meaning Ishmael came from Avram too, but everyone knows Ishmael came from Hagar. That was not the main wife. That was Pelegesh, as opposed to Yitzchak, came from Sarah. Sarah was the main person in the house, the main wife. So that means he's the main son. So everyone understands that Yaakov, Yitzchak should be in charge too. Kichen lim demavosim, that's what their fathers taught them. And that's natural to everybody, so those people aren't jealous as much or at all. They're not going to mess with Klal Yisrael. We're the chosen nation as far as they're concerned in terms of Yitzchak. However, Esav was the daughter of Rivka, son of Rivka rather, just the same as Yaakov. So, since he's also a brother, Tera ino ba'achiv ba'ben imo. So he's not happy that his brother has it better than him. Misnasi lav yitain dofi. So then he's upset that he should be ruling over him. Imlo yashav Hashem yizbarach achor yamino ba'avosu as Yaakov. If Hashem doesn't hold him back, otherwise he'll start up with Klal Yisrael. Yitain dofi. Vaza amro ki mishalvas armenos Yaakov ha'yos. And for that, we say that the fact that Yaakov is at peace and Esav's land is destroyed, the fact that Hashem didn't let Esav attack us and destroy us, that shows Bachar Yaakov ki Hashem mehevo, that he chose Yaakov because he loves us. Ki lo matza Yaakov aven, he didn't say any bad in Klal Yisrael, lu yamik l'hashchas b'Yaakov b'kanoas k'nasi, whereas he had otherwise been able to, Yosef would have been able to destroy it if Hashem wanted to let him. And understanding this, that Yosef is our main enemy because he's our brother, and he thinks he's most fitting to get to get rulership over this world more than us. So that explains that what she's saying in Megillah, she efsha sheyu shneim shavim begdula, that Esav and Yaakov can't both be equal in gedula, in being on top. Aval amalaha chareva, imalaya zu chareva zu. That if one is full, one is destroyed. Meaning if Yaakov's ruling and in charge and on top, Esav is by definition always going to be not and down. And if Esav's on top, Yaakov is down. Has to be. V'yesh lishol, and you can ask, lama yechuyev zeh be'edom mikol ha'amim? Why is it specifically of all nations Yaakov and Esav have this up-down relationship, that when Yaakov's on top, Esav's down, and vice versa? There's no such thing about that with Yishmael or any of the other 70 nations. Specifically, Edom and Klal Yisrael can't both be at the top at the same time. So he answers, that's because of what I said with a little more explanation. V'hu, and that is to say, there's no nation who should be jealous of Yaakov. Yeah, efsher sheyimshal memshal rav gam biyos moshel biyisrael, because he could have a huge kingdom even if the Jews have their own kingdom. Kimemshalas hagayim baratzosim l'shonosim losarik liyisrael klal, because the Jews having their own kingdom does not, and their own land doesn't bother the Jewish people. The goyim having their own land and the Jews having their own kingdom, they don't bother each other. They don't talk to each other, have nothing to do with each other. What's the difference if Yishmael has a country and the Jews have a country? Why should they care? Ach Esav, but Esav does care. If he could, he would always be rising up against his brother to say, Kihua Bechor, he's the Bechor. He's the one who should be the first. So he says, I should get the Yerusha. I'm also from Rivka. and I'm the Bechor, ki Abecha l'kulanu, we have the same father, Mizei Yechuyev, Mot Esav. Therefore, it has to be, Esav's always going to be knocked down, ki Yoram Yaakov is Yadav Egaber. If Yaakov goes up, Esav can never handle it, so it'll have to be that Esav gets knocked down. V'amnam, however, Mot Yaakov, Yaakov going down, lo yimashich mi'snasas Esav, is not, has to be that Yaakov goes down when Esav goes up, be'etzem, aval ha'snasas Esav Yechuyev l'mot Yaakov, but when Esav goes up, it ends up being that Yaakov goes down. Felo be'etzem, and not because it has to be al derech mashi yimashich mot Esav l'snasas Yaakov chalila, not in the same way that when Esav must go down when Yaakov goes up, aval b'mikro, it just happens to be that way. Why? Because im lo tzidkas Hashem yisbarach asher yaseh b'Yaakov v'oyivav yachnia, if Hashem is not doing chesed with Klal Yisrael to protect them and make them on top, ki chalak Hashem yisbarach chala amim l'ulim yoshes b'chalakos, so if Hashem's giving out the rest of the world, l'mi yachpotzim b'bein kol amim rabim l'hisnachal kisei kovid yosim Esav ben Ahuva. So who more should be getting good things more than Esav? Asher is halchu avos alafanav Avram Yitzchak, who came from great people, Avram and Yitzchak. L'zei yechuyev sheitnasa Esav b'goyim. Therefore, Esav should be on top of all the goyim. Im lo be'esav sher Yaakov v'zaro yetzlichu l'mlucha. Unless Yaakov's in charge. So basically, when Yaakov is in charge, Esav has to be put down. But when Esav is on top, so that's because Esav is going to be on top because he's the most fitting to be on top and can't be at the same time as Yaakov because he won't be able to handle Yaakov having a melucha. So if Hashem's not protecting Yaakov, so Hashem lets Esav be the one who's on top. And these reasons cause and we see it in reality as well, and that which the Nevi'im explain to us as well. V'zehu, and that is Shamar Akas, that the Pasuk says. And these are some very interesting psukim that most of us, when we get up to it in Parshas Shavu, have no idea what to do with them. So it's Perek Lamed Vav, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. I think it's the end of Vayetze, I think. I'm not sure. Either way, it's the end of some Parsha. A whole list of the generations of Edom, who the kings were of Edom. And the Ramchal says about that little paragraph there about the various kings of Edom, that all the workings of the heavens are in, all the way Shemayim works and all the workings in heaven are in, hinted to in that one parsha of the list of the kings of Edom. So, you know, a lot of times you read those psukim and have no idea why the Torah listed who cares who the kings of Edom were. But there is apparently a great significance in them. Not clearly obvious to people who don't know Kabbalah or even the basics of it, but there's a lot hidden in those psukim. Anyway, so a little bit just in its non-Kabbalistic form, the simple reading of it, that's what the Ran's going to explain to us. So he says, Zeu shamar akasav ilu amlachem shal malchu be'eretz Edom lifnei melech melech lifnei Yisrael. These are the kings that ruled in Edom before there was a king to Bnei Yisrael. Why does the Pasuk have to tell you these are the kings who ruled before the Jews had a king? Why do you have to say that? Im lo lehodia ki mitzad shebiyamim ahem ein melech Yisrael melech melech be'edom. It is because since the Jews did not have a king, that's why there could be a king of Edom. Ki lu tzolcha melucha b'Yisrael, because if the Jews would have been successful in having a king, lo melech melech b'Edom, there would not have been a king in Edom. Kashir nira, just like we see, asher sarah malchusam b'kum melech b'Yisrael, that when the Jews did get a king, Edom stopped having a king. Ki David hikim aleim nitzivim, v'lniach lehem melechim. David, who conquered them, so he put non-kings, people in charge, but not people who were kings in Edom. V'nimshach atzman Yehoshaphat, and it went through the time of Yehoshaphat, k'mo shekasav b'yamav ha'melech in be'edom, nitzav melech, there was no actual king in Edom. V'nimshach zead yimei Yehoram, and it went till the days of Yehoram, asher lecheto v'lechto achrei beis achav, because he was a sinner. Kasav bo, it says, in his days, b'yamav pasha Edom, mitachas yad Yehuda, v'yamluch aleim melech. That in the days of Yehoram, so Edom rebelled, and they got a king. Payu gam kein malachim ad galos haaretz, ki kein kasuv, vayivsha edom mitachas yad Yehuda, ad hayom hazeh. Kilo ansa tzidkasam lahachris me'edom malachim, because the Jews, you know, this is a little bit of a contradiction to what he said, the Jews were having a king at the same time that Edom had a king. But either way, it was the Jews had a king, and their zchus was not enough to allow them to not have Edom have a king. Because the Jews were sinning then, and that's why Edom rebelled to start with, so they didn't have enough zchusim. I guess they had enough merits that the Jews should have a king, but not enough merits to make it that Edom would not. Amnam bisman Bayesheni haya Edom tachas yad Yisrael, but in the time of Bayesheni, in the time of the second temple, the second Beis HaMikdash, so Edom was subservient to the Jewish people. Ki Hyrcanus samam shomri Yerushalayim v'chnisam b'brismila, because Hyrcanus made them watch guards over Yerushalayim and made them get a bris. V'mei Agrippas kashel nilkada Yerushalayim, in the times of Agrippas, when Yerushalayim was captured, bo gedude Edom Lazarus Yehuda. So soldiers from Edom came to help Yehuda. It shows from this, basically any time the Jews were in their height of power, so then there was never a king in Edom. Hashem always made it that there wouldn't be a king in Edom. So once we sinned, basically, Chagar Edom be'oz masnav, so then Edom got stronger. He kvar hodinu zal, because Chazal already told us hayusinu begalos Edom, that we today remain, that means even today, right now, are in galos Edom, are in the exile of Edom. Kim heyos esher romi ha-mechtemes rehavenu, because even though it's true, it's Rome that conquered Yerushalayim and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and they're the ones that caused us the pain, and that is himechlal eretz Yavan, Rome, Italy, that's not the land of Edom, that's the land of Yavon, the land of Greece, of the Greeks, Kemoshatir Game Ungulus, Mitzim Miyad Kitim, that Tzim from Yad Kitim, and Ungulus says, Vishian Dis Tachran Me Romai, that translates Kitim as Romans, Vikitim Huachan Mibne Yavon, and Kitim was one of the sons of Yavon, so it's in the general scope of Yavon, Rome is. Imkaze still, and this is an important Tashkafic point to know, Malachaha Asher Malchu Ba Hayu Edomim. The kings of Rome actually were Edomites. Real, true Edomites. V'hayu B'socha Me Edom Av Rav. And also many of the citizens of Rome were Edomites. Kama Shamar Matargim, like the Targum says, Pekaud Avonecha Bas Edom Gila Al Chatosayech. So your sins are known, Edom, and it says, the Inkla says, Isar Ibusicha Roma Rishia de Mizbanya Bitalia. Your sins are known, Rome, evil Rome, that is made in Italy, Umalya Ochlusi min Bnei Adam, that's filled with people from Edom. So, you know, there are many explanations why we're called in Galus Edom when Rome was the one that conquered the Beis HaMikdash. So the Ran's explanation is, it's not a cultural Edom in that way, or a spiritual Edom. It's actually Edom. Just it's true, it wasn't the land of Edom, and it really wasn't the people of Edom, but the kings were from Edom, and a good portion of the citizenship was from Edom. A similar concept, I'm saying this, a similar idea would be, you know, the Gemara says that Germania, Germany, is from Amalek. So that all of us who are living post-World War II, that's not surprising at all, that the Amalekites are from Germany. But there's really two types of people in Germany, two types of races, I guess. There's the blue-eyed, blonde-haired Aryan, and then there's the people that look like Hitler, Yamach Shemo. There's two types of races, the Slav-type look, which was the blonde hair, blue eyes, and there's another part of a Germanic tribe that does not have blonde hair, has brown hair, and, you know, a different group. So they're all part of the German people, but they clearly came from different groups. So if you say Amalek is Germany, you would mean you're calling the whole thing Germany, even though, let's say, the Hitler side, the people look like him with the brown hairs and, you know, don't look like Aryans. Maybe they're the real Amalek, and the other Slavic-looking people are just grouped in there together. But it's that idea. We're calling Rome Edom, even though Edom wasn't all one ethnic group. It may have been many, but the king was from Edom. Many of the people were from Edom. So we call Rome Edom, even though it it was Rome. Okay, hine ze mash nirehu b'mash avra aleinu mihazman minyan Edom. This is what we see from what happened to us with Edom. Ki b'hatziv Hashem yizbarach mata uzenu mata yado, that when we are good, they are down. B'shiflenu b'dvarenu reses gavar ad lashkas, and when we're down, he's up and he destroys, okay, hurts us. Okay, I think we'll hold it here for now, and in the next year we'll continue from here with V'amnam.